Our second scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah in the 52nd chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Listen. Your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messengers. That was our theme for the week of our trip that Lily was on. And of course, Janine was my co-chaperone. Thank the Lord. She was with us. And William and Collins and Chelsea as well this week. We were in the mountains, which is, I assume, why they chose this scripture, up in Appalachia. And we were working among the people there who were in what the, I guess, sociologists of the day describe as rural poverty and often generational poverty. And I'm not going to tell a lot of specific stories today because we decided that we're going to have a special worship service in a few weeks that the youth are going to lead to tell some of their stories. But what really struck me and that I wanted to talk about today is I learned from the lady who was in charge, that she's a deacon in the United Methodist Church. Her name is Dawn. She said that people would put on their feedback sheets, "We don't understand what this poverty has to do with Jesus. We don't really understand why learning about our neighbors in poverty, building relationships with them, has to do with the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ." Now, I mean, most people, I imagine, sort of understand the basics that Jesus teaches, right? We're supposed to be nice to our neighbors. Jesus says that, right? Like, we're going to love our neighbors. And so most people kind of get that. I mean, that's why they went, right? It's just an opportunity to love some farther away neighbors. But I think the deeper question is why? Why does Jesus want us to love our neighbors? My supposition or my guess for these folks was so that they'll meet Jesus too, right? That they would be sort of benevolently inclined towards Jesus because we do nice things for them, and therefore they would accept Jesus into their hearts and be saved like the rest of us who are already saved. But that's not the whole point. That's not the deepest why of Jesus' command to love our neighbors. Because you have to sort of think about it this way. Think about it in the context of Isaiah's message. How beautiful are the feet upon the mountains, the messenger who brings good news. That's sort of the task of the church that Isaiah lays out there for us. That's the theme, I said, of the week, right? That we were coming to bring good news to these folks. that we would bring news that was so good that they would think even our feet are beautiful. Now, I don't know about you. I don't particularly describe my feet as beautiful. I know my wife has beautiful feet. But most of us don't describe our feet as beautiful. It's a way of saying, I think what we say in our sort of vernacular, our expressions are, that's so great, I just want to kiss your feet. Right? That's the expression that we use. That's what Isaiah is saying here. That there's going to be news so good that somebody just feels like they just want to kiss your feet because you're the messenger of that good news. So the why, then, needs to answer the question of what is good news to people in rural poverty. And it's very difficult to answer that question if you don't sort of understand what it means to be in rural poverty. If you don't know what it means to be among, to live in this way and to know what the need is, well, then how can you know what's good news? What would be comfort and peace to folks? So what we did is we did a poverty simulation. We spent several hours, each divided into families and given a scenario, a realistic scenario of how much money you make in a month, what are your set expenses, and then you had to go around to different places and decide how you were going to spend the rest of your money, how much it would cost to get healthy food versus less healthy food, how much it would cost to get health insurance or to just go with no health insurance, how much it costs to live in a one-bedroom mobile home versus a two-bedroom house. For you and my family had two, I was grandparents raising two grandchildren. How much does it cost to have a car that works versus a car that kind of sort of works versus walking everywhere? And through the course of this, we also had what they call tyranny of the moment. Unexpected things that would happen. And some of them were positive. A church gave my family some money. But then we had an unexpected tax bill come due that wiped out our savings. And we were among the higher level of income of people, families in this simulation. The point of all this, the reason I'm sort of bringing this up, is to explain this is a way that we can understand our neighbors better. And if we can understand our neighbors better, well, then we know what good news is. What salvation looks like to folks. And ultimately what this is all about is the mission of God in the world. That's what Isaiah is talking about. Yes, we know, we believe that in Jesus Christ, God is righting sin, right? Covering our sin. There's lots of different ways to talk about it. Making us holy people. But that's not all Jesus is doing. The story of Jesus isn't a prolonged and somewhat interesting prologue with the real meat at the end. The story of Jesus is about Jesus being on God's mission in the world that culminates at the cross and the resurrection. So God is not only causing salvation that is sort of spiritual and internal. What God is doing, what God's mission in the world is, what God has been doing from the very beginning is righting all the brokenness that sin causes. Brokenness for people whose health outcomes are much lower, simply determined by their zip code. Right? Brokenness that is in folks who, well, for our project, we were building a ramp into a free legal aid office. Why does that make a difference, right? So people need legal aid because of brokenness in their lives, because they have a broken relationship that they need to sever in divorce, and they need aid for that, or they're not being treated right by the by an insurance company, right? You see those signs all over the place. But if you can't afford, if you can't call all nines and afford, you know, Hawk Law, you got to go to the free legal aid to get the money that you need from the insurance company to make up for the lost work that you had. So we were working in God's mission in this way, not only in helping people, bringing a good news that matters to someone who's got a legal problem and no money to do anything about it, and also to build a relationship between us and people who live differently than us. People who have less than us, who have less resources, less opportunity, who are seeing the world in a different way. Isaiah talks to a dispossessed and suffering people in his time, who've been in exile, who have been in suffering, who've been in poverty, who are hungry, who are looking for a good news that says concretely, you are going to go back to the Holy Land. You are going to live differently. You are going to have the opportunity to own your own house, to farm your own land, to grow your own food, to be food secure. That's what Isaiah is telling people. Just read it from like 52 on. And this is what the mission of the Hinton Center is, to help people with food security, to help people to have safe homes to live in, to have their own safe places to live. It's the same message. It's the same mission. It's God's mission. The fancy seminary word is the Missio Dei, which is Latin. It means God's mission. God's mission in the world, the work that God is doing in the world, that God has assigned to us as the church. And this is the miraculous thing. This is the amazing thing. We get to be a part of it. God has a mission in the world. God is working it through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And God has, for God's own reasons that we can't know or understand, has chosen to bring that mission about, to work that mission in the world, to make us co-workers, Paul says. Co-workers with God. To bring about salvation, which Isaiah describes as comfort, peace, redemption, which is another way of talking about freedom from slavery. And this mission goes to all the ends of the earth. So God, Isaiah looks beyond our current reality into a future where we are called to the ends of the earth to be about God's mission in the world. It's very exciting. It's very cool. It was a great week to be a part of it. and to see Lily and the others get to be a part of it and allow Jesus Christ to work through them to bring some comfort and hope and healing and help, redemption and salvation into a community where it is desperately needed. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.